pulled over early today in North Carolina, where police say he failed a sobriety test. No comment yet from the team. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
The Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, George Berna notes that approximately 75,000 books have been published on parenting in the last 10 years. So why a new book on parenting? The short answer is simple. Christian parents or Christian parenting is in disarray. The statistics in the opening chapter of the book we're going to discuss today will make that very, very clear to us. We're talking today about the subject of parenting, specifically Christian parenting, and specifically gospel-powered parenting, how the gospel shapes and transforms parenting. And that's a new book that has just been published by William Farley. He's going to be my special guest on the radio program today. Let me read a section off of the back of this book. It says this: how can I hope to be an effective parent today when attacks on the family are stronger than ever before? The answer, says Farley, is the gospel. And then the publisher adds this note. He says, parents who claim the gospel as their own have an enormous effect on their marriage, their integrity, and their love for their children. Keeping the gospel at the forefront of every aspect of marriage helps parents fear God, sensitizes them to sin, motivates them to enter their children's world, and causes them to preach the beauty of the gospel to their children through their marriage. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, the gospel, and specifically that aspect of the gospel or applying the gospel to our parenting. And William Farley, as I mentioned, is going to be my special guest here. We'll go to him in just a second. But he is the pastor of Grace Christian Fellowship in Spokane, Washington. He is also the author of For His Glory, and his articles have appeared in Discipleship Journal, Focus on the Family, Pulpit Helps, and Enrichment Journal. This particular book is published by P&R Publishing, and the good folks there at P&R have given me some copies to be able to give away during the program today. So I want to encourage you. A lot of times when we talk about an issue like this, we do get quite a few callers that call into the program, and so I want to make sure you know the numbers right at the top of the program, 1-888-660-WLFJ, that's 1-888-660-9535, and also you can reach me via email, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and also I have Twitter up and running as well, and that is the account there is Knowing the Truth. With that, let me welcome in William. Welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thanks, Kevin, and I just want to express my gratitude for the interview and tell you that I'm honored to be on your program.
Well, praise the Lord. It's great to have you. I've had the opportunity to interview now quite a few of the P&R authors, and just like some of the other publishing houses that I do a lot of interviews through, very trustworthy, very trusted source there with P&R. And so I've been reading through your book here. It's excellent. I've been quoted heavily during the blog that I wrote for the program today from Tim Challies, who, of course, reviews a number of books, and he was thrilled about your book. In fact, he said this at the end of it. He said, Tim went on to say, quote, I wondered as I closed the cover, could this be the best book ever I've ever read on parenting, unquote. Now, that's quite a comment from Tim Challies, who reviews, you know, hundreds of books per year on his website. So you must have been thrilled with that.
I was. I was thrilled. I don't know how to you know, I've worked at writing for a long time, and to have someone review it and give that nice of a comment was, well, it was very gratifying.
Well, you say right in the very beginning of your book yourself that you quote George Barna, as I just read a few minutes ago, that 75,000 books on the subject of parenting have been put out. You must have thought in writing another book about parenting, you know, would anybody buy it because it's, the market is just so flooded. But this one is quite different, right? Because you're making a beeline for the gospel itself. And I'm sure some people hear us say that and they go, well, this is a Christian program. This is a Christian author. Of course he's going to. But differently than you normally see in a Christian book where we're actually looking at how to apply the gospel to this area of parenting, correct?
That's right. I read probably 10 or 15 books on parenting by Christian authors. And one of the things that I found several good ones, but there were quite a few that I was somewhat discouraged by. And the reason was because they mixed therapy with biblical advice. And so my experience and my convictions are that the Bible is sufficient for parenting. And as you look through the Bible, you'll notice that there aren't a lot of texts on parenting. There's maybe 10 or 15 in Proverbs. There's a couple of exhortations in the first chapters of Deuteronomy to teach our children the law of God. Mm-hmm. And there's only two texts in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:4 and another text in Colossians, and they both say the same thing. So I thought to myself as I began working on this ministry, where is the material on parenting? Here's a subject that occupies us, you know, 24/7 for probably 30 years of our life, and there's not nearly as much material in the Bible as we would expect. Mm. And the reason, I think, is because the gospel is the paradigm for parenting. I mean, the gospel, if we really understand the gospel and apply it, teaches us everything we need to know about parenting. And I know in my own case, the gospel was incredibly influential in my parenting, especially in the later years of my parenting, because in earlier years, I didn't understand it anything like I do today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thrust of this book. What does the gospel tell us about parenting? How does the gospel form and shape our parenting?
Mm. And, of course, we see that, as you were mentioning, in certain passages of the Scripture, like Deuteronomy chapter 6, of course, Psalm 78, and some other areas where it talks about us speaking to our children on a regular basis, and we can see that dynamic of passing the truths of the gospel where they're foundational in our parenting. So we see little glimpses of it, but you've pulled that together much tighter here in your book. We've got a caller already. Let's go to the phone lines, and when we come back from the caller, after we find out what his question or his comment is, I want to talk with you a little bit about this opening chapter. You've got an interesting title for it, Intellectual Submarines. I think people will understand what we mean by that if we give them a little bit more information. But let's go. Mike is up first. Mike here, right here in Greenville, I think. And, Mike, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Hi, Pastor Kevin.
How you doing? Can you speak up just a little bit, Mike?
Sure, I can. I'm on a cell, so.
Okay.
I had a question. How do we know? I know that the fall actually affects all of us, all aspects of our lives. How do we know in our children what is mere taste as far as, like, when we're at the dinner table, how do we know the difference between personality and disobedience in our children?
I barely hear that question.
Let me reiterate your question, Mike, if I could. And would you like to take the answer offline?
That's fine.
Just so you could hear better. And then also, if you will send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and include your mailing address, I'll send you out a copy of this book as well, Mike.
Okay, that's great.
Okay. All right. Well, he's going to take it offline. What he was saying is, William, that how do we know? You know, you see different things in your child. I have three girls myself. Each one of them is unique. And how do we know when we're just seeing some uniqueness of their personality rather than when we're seeing some aspect of the fall, you know, something sinful in them? Would you address that briefly?
Well, first of all, that's a tough question because every child comes with a different personality with different strengths and weaknesses. I think what we always want to look for in parenting, and I stress this real heavily in this book, is our children's heart. What's coming out of their heart? You know, so one child may be, I was just talking with my son-in-law this morning. We were talking about my two grandsons. And one of the grandsons is really self-confident and feels almost no guilt for sin and problems. The other grandson is really tender-hearted, very sensitive conscience, lacks the confidence of his older brother. So those are personality types there. So the key is going beyond the personality type to get to what's coming out of the child's heart.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if the child is throwing a temper tantrum, or the child is pouting, or the child is ungrateful, or the child is, you just go on and on with the examples of heart sins. Idolatrous, they've made something more important than God. Then that's what you do, is you deal with the heart. You go beyond the individual personality strengths and weaknesses to go right to the heart. What's coming out of that child's heart, and you deal with the heart issues.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all of parenting, one of the thrusts of gospel-powered parenting is that all of our parenting should be aimed at our children's hearts, not necessarily their behavior.
Yeah, I hear a lot of those same themes that we saw in shepherding a child's heart and also in instructing a child's heart. We're going through that right now in our Sunday school class with Ted and Margie Tripp. And, of course, that was a mainstay of their message there as well, dealing with the heart. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And when we come back from the break, I wanted to see if we could zero down in on this opening chapter. In fact, you have four or five points that you make in here, and I'm hoping as we go through those points that we could weave in some of the other topics of the rest of your book as well. So let me tell the folks, you're welcome to join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Would be happy to get you a copy of this book, Gospel Powered Parenting, into your hands for your question or comment today.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Here's Dr. Albert Moeller for Knowing the Truth and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Folks are living in a time when truth is being marginalized, subverted, and just being confused. God is just not an important part of their intellectual framework, and they think they can get along just fine without him. Of course, we know that isn't true. I'm thankful for the ministry of Kevin Bowling and Knowing the Truth. I want to encourage you and all your friends to listen regularly to Knowing the Truth.
Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and online at knowingthetruth.org.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Querido Dios, ¿por qué los padres?
Dear God, why do parents have children if they're just going to abuse them?
Oh, you know, there is no good answer to this question, little friend. I'm so sorry. And you're not alone. Worldwide, an estimated 40 million children under age 15 suffer from violence, abuse, and neglect. This is Wes Stafford, president of Compassion International. As her father stood over her, shouting at his teenage daughter, Catherine prayed out loud, "Lord, I know you can take care of me." Those are the exact words she'd read the day before in a letter from her sponsor. Like thousands of our Compassion children, Catherine faces abuse and violence almost every day of her life. She accepted Christ just a year ago at her Compassion Student Center in Nicaragua. And it's the workers and her sponsor who remind her of Jesus. This is Wes Stafford. Speak up with a message of hope.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. You just heard a moment ago a commercial that we run from Stevie B's Pizzeria, and I want to mention something that we're going to be doing over there at Stevie B's because of a ministry milestone, a pretty significant ministry milestone that we have reached here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. God has graciously allowed us to attain this, but Lord willing, in just a few short days, the website that is associated with our radio ministry will reach 50,000 downloads of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. And last month alone, in addition to those that hear the broadcast via the airwaves, 50,000-watt airwaves here, the Knowing the Truth radio program was downloaded via the website in 45 different countries and all 50 states, so that individuals in like Canada and Australia, United Kingdom, China, Netherlands, as well as those living in Florida, New York, Texas, California, Michigan, they heard the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proclaimed from this microphone. In fact, over the last year, I've had the privilege of interviewing over 100 of our nation's foremost Christian authors and leaders, godly men and women such as R.C. Sproul and Jerry Bridges and Al Mohler that you just heard a moment ago, and Kay Arthur, just to mention a few. And so to celebrate this milestone, the congregation of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, the church that I pastor, along with the good folks here at Christian Talk 660, we would like to invite you to a Listener Appreciation Day on Sunday, November 8th at Stevie B's Pizzeria, which is over there on Woodruff Road, right here in Greenville. And on that day, you and your family are invited to be our guest for lunch or dinner. You can come, starts at 11 o'clock. It'll go all the way to 9 o'clock that night. Anytime during that time, you're welcome to come. All you have to do is simply mention Knowing the Truth radio program to the hostess when you arrive, and you and your family will receive a free lunch buffet there at Stevie B's Pizzeria. Additionally, each one of the adults that come, they're going to receive a free gift bag that contains, among other items, an ESV Outreach New Testament Bible and 30 days of free access to the ESV Online Study Bible. And this is just our way of saying thank you for supporting the ministry of Knowing the Truth. If you want some more information about that, there's a map out there, and all the rest of the information that you need is out on our knowingthetruth.org website. That's simply knowingthetruth, all one word, .org. You can go there, and under the event listing there, you'll see all the details about the upcoming Listener Appreciation Day. With that, let's go. We're going to go to the phone line again first, and then we'll come back to our discussion. But Ron is up next. Ron, thank you for your patience. And Ron had called the other day, in fact, and we weren't able to get him on at the end of the broadcast, so I'm glad you called back today, Ron.
Thank you, Kevin. I know a number of people who have children and newborns, and a question was posed to me the other day about when do you start disciplining a child, and given the fact that all children have different personalities, as was mentioned, this person was talking about more like going to other people and following their experience. I was wondering if the book dealt with that young of an age, or is it just more towards children, or do you have any insights even if you don't deal with it in the book?
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Again, send me that email. You know the drill. And if you would, could you hear him okay, William?
I could.
Okay.
I heard that one great.
Okay, great. Would you please respond?
So the question is, when do we start disciplining a child?
Right.
And the problem is the Bible's silent on this subject. So what I would tell you is just my personal opinion, and that would be that we begin disciplining children. As soon as my 28-year-old son asked me this the other day, who has my grandson's 14 months old, Dad, when do I start disciplining? I said, well, I think you should start disciplining as soon as you know that your child knows what you want them to do, and you know that they know that, and they're refusing to do it, it's time to discipline. So, and the earlier you start, the better. The earlier the start, the less pain to the child, the less pain to you, and the more quickly you get the child on the right track. If you wait till they're two or three, and they've formed a lot of bad habits, and you start then, it's going to be much, much more painful and difficult.
And if I could add to that, William, I think that after having read your book, you know, that we're racing right to discipline, I think would lead people to the wrong conclusion about what you write in this book.
Yeah.
That living the Christian life in front of our children.
Yes.
And having the gospel applied to our life, and that we are living the Christian life before them, is so important, so that the discipline is not the main idea.
No.
Instruction
no.
is, right?
Yes. There's first of all, affection is huge, and the communication of love and affection to your children. If you discipline them without going overboard to communicate love and affection, it'll boomerang on you in many cases. On the other hand, if you just give them love and affection without discipline, that'll boomerang too. Good, effective parenting, gospel-centered parenting, models what God has displayed to us in the gospel, which is he disciplines the sons that he loves, and he loves the sons that he disciplines. Mm. And so there's a chapter on the book on affection. There's another two chapters on discipline, because not that discipline's more important, but that discipline, I think, is harder for us in our modern age today. There's also, both those principles can be applied from age 0 to age 20 with your kids. Obviously, you're not disciplining 20-year-olds, or probably even 17 or 18-year-olds. It's mostly affection and relationship at that point. Mm-hmm. But the huge thing, what you just mentioned, Kevin, this example, which overrides all of this, from age 0 to age 40 with your kids, your example is probably much more important than discipline or any of these other things. I've got a chapter called The First Principle of Parenting, and it's about the crucial nature of example, especially the example of our marriages.
Mm.
And so.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I try to tell my congregation that the spare the rod, spoil the child is not just the rod of correction, but it's the rod of instruction.
That's right. And instruction is huge.
Yeah, and so if we leave that off, you know, I think the when you talk about the idea of Christian parenting is in disarray, you know, that the father is some sort of a tyrant in the home. You know, he's got a couple Bible verses behind him to prove to everybody that this is what God wants him to do. And he's going around, you know, sitting in the throne there in the living room in the easy boy chair and just barking out commands. And somehow feels that he's fulfilling his gospel obligation to raise his children in a godly way. You know, as soon as these children get out of line, I'm going to straighten this out type of attitude. And and do as I say, not as I do, you know, is built into that too. But that is just a completely false picture of what we find in the scriptures as being a godly method of parenting.
Obviously,
you agree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kevin.
I was just going to say, obviously, you agree from what you've written in the book.
Yeah, I do. And I would say that when we say gospel-powered parenting, the first thing the gospel does is it impacts the parents. Okay, if it doesn't impact the parents first and change them, then the whole thing is counterproductive. So I would say the first thing the gospel is going to do with a parent is humble them, deeply humble them, and cause them to come in contact with their own sin and their own failings. And through that experience, they become humble parents. In other words, they discipline their kids, but their kids see a model of humility in their parents that the gospel has produced, which is alluring to children. It's very attractive to children. When parents are affectionate and humble and also stand for the truth with their children through discipline, et cetera, it's really a compelling package to children. It's not a very common package. I'm thinking of one guy that's a pastor that I know who has 7 or 8 children, who's the kind of father you just mentioned, tyrannical, et cetera, et cetera. His children are now, the oldest children are in their early 20s, and they've all rebelled. And none of them, one of them's in the goth scene wearing the black, hair dyed black, and just had a goth wedding covered with tattoos. I mean, that's what happens when you parent that way in most cases. It's a disaster.
You know, we're right here in the bastion of fundamentalism, and this isn't a statement, you know, a blanket statement that all people in fundamentalism have raised their children this way, but I think a lot of people in my listening audience here would agree that this has been the modus operandi of most of the fundamentalist parenting, has been to rule with an iron fist. And to tell you the truth, you know, they get a lot of results early on when the children are very young. But as soon as the children become up into the teen years, they're still trying to use the same methodology of parenting, and all of a sudden we see them leaving in groves,
in droves,
and they're just, you know, and they go off into these types of things that you're doing, and people scratch their head and say, what happened?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was that we never really were using the gospel methodology of parenting. We were just demanding our way, and that's it's a huge problem in this area.
Yeah, yeah. I would say in most of those cases, the gospel's not penetrated the parent. Mm-hmm. That's the real problem, and the parent doesn't see and understand the gospel. The parent has never seen himself at the cross, crucified. See, the parents never seen what the cross says about their own sin and what it deserves. And then the love of God poured out upon the sinner despite that. I mean, that is what is about the gospel that transforms parenting and changes everything. It humbles the parent. It makes the parent meek and gentle and compassionate with their children, yet it gives them grace to be firm with them when they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I met with about six or eight couples from our church last night that all have teen children to talk about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I stress with all of them, the main thing is relationship at this stage. You've got to have a friendship with your children. When they get into their teens, you know, when they're preschool, it's mostly about discipline. In the teens, it's mostly about relationship. And a great book on this written by the Tripps is Age of Opportunity, talking about raising teens. But, you know, and you can't have that kind of relationship with your children unless the gospel's penetrated your own heart.
Mm. And it's a shame, isn't it, that, you know, the first word that comes to our mind very often with parenting is the idea of discipline. And I think discipline is so far down the list there after we think about all of the other thing that God wants us to do. I still want to get to your opening chapter here. I want to talk about parenting is not easy when we come back from the break. And then also the one after that, that God is sovereign, but he uses means. I think those two are key to our discussion, and we'll get to those as soon as we come back from the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 60, 90 seconds.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
I'm Isaac Feinman here with Dr. George Auger. Dr. Auger, why did you decide to do your half hour to health?
Isaac, when I started to think about the upstate of South Carolina and the information that they get about health care, I thought they needed a place where they could get honest, relevant, practical information on all kinds of health care topics. My desire has always been to help families live healthier, happier, more vibrant lives.
Listen to your half hour to health with Dr. George Auger Wednesdays at 12:30 and also visit augercairo.com.
This is Emily Barnes with Keep It Simple, and I mean in your walk with the Lord. My idea of a model woman, and a very modern one indeed, is right in the pages of your Bible. The Proverbs 31 woman you hear so much about is a woman you can be proud to pattern yourself after. Strength and honor. She opens her mouth in wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. With God's grace, you can be that kind of woman. Her prayer is, please guide my mouth from gossip, from hatred. Show me how to be disciplined, to live with integrity. Help me be the kind of woman my children can look up to, a woman who pleases you.
Hi, I'm Scott Gorman from Detour Traffic. Be sure to tune in to Christian Worldview Today, weekday mornings from 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660. Dr. Tony Bean will get your mind going with today's hot topics, and I'll keep you posted on the upstate roadways with reports every 15 minutes. Plus, if your business would like to sponsor traffic on Christian Worldview Today, visit detourtraffic.com. You'll find more information about partnership opportunities and details on how you can get in contact with me. More life-changing teaching and talk is on the way right here on Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Just a couple of quick program notes again. I wanted to let you know, met this morning with a group of pastors at the Hilton right here in Greenville, and Dr. David Jeremiah was there giving an encouraging message to the pastors that were enjoying a wonderful breakfast there this morning. And I want to remind you that he is going to be at the Bilo Center tonight. It's absolutely free, 7 o'clock tonight. Dr. David Jeremiah talking about living with confidence in chaotic times. And so I think you'll enjoy that. You can bring the whole family out there. They have special music by Charles Billingsley is going to be there. They had a young lady sing at the event this morning. It was just fantastic. But anyway, 7 o'clock tonight, that's going to be at the Bilo Center in downtown Greenville. Also, I wanted to make sure you were aware of the fact that Michael Horton is going to be with me next week on the broadcast on the 5th. I think that's Thursday of next week. And Michael will be talking about his latest book called The Gospel-Driven Life. Very similar to what we're talking about today. We're talking about the gospel-powered parenting. You know, how do we bring the gospel to bear on the parenting, on raising children, the children that God has given to us graciously? How do we bring the gospel to bear on these things? And so that's what we're talking about today. And again, we'll be talking about that on Thursday, not so much in the area of parenting itself, but just in our entire life, the gospel-driven life with Michael Horton from the White Horse Inn. He'll be with us. I saw Rick Phillips this morning. I told him, Rick, we got to get you back on the broadcast. He, of course, is with the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals as well, and along with Michael Horton. So we'll see about getting Rick on the broadcast here with me very shortly. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a couple people waiting on the phone lines. Alex is up first. Alex, welcome into the program today.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem.
I know you're trying to transition off the topic of discipline, but it's, if I might, before you do,
sure.
I think there's a lot of us, I hear what you're saying about the guy that goes over the top with disciplining kids, but I think there's a lot of us that might struggle the other way. And my question for your guest is, where is that line between wanting to be consistent and showing discipline versus also exhibiting the kind of grace that we see evidenced in the gospel towards us?
Great question, Alex. Be sure to send me an email, okay, and I'll send you a copy of the book. Just send
great.
Me your mailing address, and I'll get it out to you right away. Do you want to take it offline? Okay.
Yeah, that's so the question is, what's the balance between discipline and grace? Is that right?
That's right. You know, when we discipline, how do we show the grace that has been shown to us?
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't immediately if I could add to Alex's question, maybe, you know, that God isn't quick to discipline us in that way. You know, how do we show grace in our discipline as well?
Well, I'd respond to that with two comments. First one is this. You can't really separate discipline and grace. Discipline, Alex maybe wasn't suggesting that, but just in case somebody's confused there, you can't separate discipline and grace. God disciplines those that he loves. So discipline is always an expression of grace to the child. It should come from a father whose heart is gracious towards his child and towards God. And whose heart has been affected by the grace revealed in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first comment. The second comment would be to say all discipline should be have this end to communicate grace to the child, or state that another way, to communicate the gospel to the child. The two chapters on discipline, the second one says that the thesis is this, that all discipline, the end of all discipline is to communicate the gospel to your child, to communicate the grace of God to your child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to give you an example of how important that is, my son-in-law told me this morning, I have two grandsons, about age 8 and age 10.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, my son-in-law was telling him about heaven and hell. And the younger grandson began to cry. So my son-in-law said to him, why are you crying? He said, I don't want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so my son-in-law said, why do you think you're going to go to hell? I haven't been a good person. Now, Thane, my son-in-law, has told the kids, he said this morning, I've told them the gospel a billion times. And yet the younger grandson at age 8 still hadn't picked up on it. We should expect this. This is normal. The gospel is antithetical to the flesh. So Thane stopped there and began to explain the gospel of grace to this child.
It doesn't depend upon your works. It depends upon God's grace. So parenting is all about the gospel, and I just told that story to bring home the fact that we don't just tell our kids the gospel once. We tell them the gospel over and over and over and over again, and we apply the gospel to their life's ethics from age 0 to age 20. We're constantly showing them what the gospel means in terms of how they should live. Every discipline event should have that end in mind, to explain the gospel to our children, to fortify them with the gospel, to have them leave the discipline event with their conscience cleansed, the joy of God returned to the child, and the child able to connect the father or mother's discipline and the father or mother's love to with the child at the same time.
You know,
that's because God disciplines the sons that he loves. Go ahead, Tom.
Amen. You know what I noticed, William, with gospel parenting is that then sharing the gospel and even discipline does not become so clunky and disconnected from everything else.
Right.
It all flows freely and naturally, you know, as we're speaking with our children about the things of God. It all becomes connected because we're able to share with them when a child asks a question like this, well, you know, there was a time that I felt that way as well, that
yeah,
I felt
right.
that I had to earn God's favor towards me. And then I realized that that's not how we have a relationship with God.
Right.
And even in our discipline, you know, we're saying, you know, I'm disciplining you because, you know, God disciplines me when I walk away from him because he loves
that's
me
right.
so much. And so this approach that you have here in your book is really, I hope that people will understand that it is just so much more connected than the a different way of parenting, where when you share the gospel, it seems awkward. It seems weird to share it during this time. You know, people will say just before they spank the child, then they quote a verse or something, and it just seems so stoic and disconnected from the rest of the gospel. Now, I don't get that at all with the way that you're presenting it in this
no.
book. Let's go back. We got April from Pendleton, South Carolina, on the line. April, thanks for being patient, and welcome into the program today.
Thank you so much. I've so enjoyed listening to everything that's been said, and praise God because he's so faithful. I've been praying about something this morning, and I turned on the radio and heard y'all talking, and I was like, there's the answer.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I have a child who's 14, and we have been through everything that y'all just said with the caller just before me of, you know, teaching her about integrity and how God is there, and, you know, the reason, like, she lies. She has a problem with lying.
Mm-hmm.
And also sharing with her when she has lied in the past and been repentful and felt like she couldn't go to God, that's why the Lord sent a Savior, because we needed a Savior for that very sin that she committed that day of lying. And this summer we had a lot of time to be together. We worked through it, and I thought we had got it not nipped in the bud, but things were looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And then school started back up, and we've run into that problem again. And just this morning, you know, caught her in a down-and-right-out lie. And even having been a witness to it, she still denied it. So my question is this, and it might be a little deep, but when you have a 14-year-old who knows the difference between right and wrong, who knows that lying is one of the Ten Commandments that God commands us not to do,
mm-hmm.
and that he sees it all, when do you know that, okay, this is a problem, not just a flesh versus spirit problem, but maybe this kid has some kind of genetic problem. I don't mean to, like, I don't want to put that blame on something genetic, but let me just tell you this real quick. We do have a history of manic depression,
mm-hmm.
and my mother-in-law, who's severely manic depressed, did have lying is one of her main problems,
mm-hmm.
and I'm beginning to wonder, could this be that manifesting itself?
Well, April, let me answer a couple things there. First of all, if you have access to email, please send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll get you out a copy of this book right away.
Okay.
And also, if you do that, mention in here that you mentioned about just a couple of things that you said. I'll remember, but I want to send you something else as well. I did a couple programs on this, too, about nouthetic counseling, which is counseling people from the Word of God. And there's a statement that we use in nouthetic counseling that we say, when is a liar no longer a liar? And some people say, well, of course, when he's not telling a lie, you know, when he's, and then we say, no, he's just in between sentences, right? They're just not speaking at the moment. A liar is no longer a liar when they begin to speak the truth and they begin to use good communication skills and the things that the scripture tells us that we should be speaking about. A similar type of one is used for a thief. When is a thief no longer a thief? And some people say when he's not stealing. We say, well, he's just in between jobs. A thief is no longer a thief when he begins to work with his hands and the thing that is good so that he has to give to those that are in need. That's when he really has turned the page. And so I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't go down that path of thinking that there's anything genetic there. If there is, then we've all got a genetic problem. It is a sin problem. It's a spiritual problem, and we can deal. That's the good news, because we can deal with sin. We've got an answer for this in the scriptures. So I just wanted to preface William's comments with that. Send me an email. I will send you these resources, and I think that they will help you to deal with the situation that you're dealing with your teenage child there.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. And William, would you like to address that, please?
Just, I would like to encourage April. I think if your daughter's 14, you know, you just need to hang in there with her and consistently keep doing the same things with her. Parenting can be very frustrating. It can be very discouraging at times. You feel like, you know, I've said this over and over and over again, my child is 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And we're still at square one, but I've learned from personal experience that it really pays off on the long run, consistency.
Yes.
And the temptation is to give up and quit being consistent with your children. The second big thing I'd say is that you don't want to presume your daughter's new birth.
No.
It's crucial to keep bringing her back to the gospel. She may be validly born again. She may not be. Professions of faith don't always point to new birth. The fact that the kid went up at an altar call or something does not necessarily mean they have new birth. Hunger for Christ is the first evidence of new birth. And, of course, that doesn't mean all lying will go away, but it means that there would be a real substantial desire in the child's heart to really get after this and change it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first sign of new birth.
That's an excellent point. And there's a couple diagnostic books in the scriptures, of course, the book of James and also 1 John, speaking about, you know, diagnosing. There are marks there of true believers. And as you were saying, you know, you can use these diagnostic tools that the scripture gives us to determine whether or not there is a legitimate profession of faith, as you mentioned, William. Good point. And we mustn't be too quick to just presume here in this area everybody professes to be a believer.
Yeah.
And so we have to really look at that very carefully and make sure that the profession of faith is legitimate. We don't want to put stumbling blocks in people's way, but we should just we just want to make sure that they understood the gospel that they're professing. And if they are, then the approach, April, to the daughter is, you profess to be a Christian. This is what Christians do. And
yeah.
How do we now reconcile the fact that you profess to be a believer and yet you're doing this sin, in this case lying? Christians are not supposed to be habitual liars. And so, you know, we need to address this from a gospel standpoint. We've got to take our final break here. We'll try to keep it a short one. And when we come back, Tom is on the line. And, Tom, you'll be up first when we come back from the break. And I want to encourage you, 1-888-660-WLFJ. The email is kevin@knowingthetruth.org. If you've got questions or comments about what we talked about today, for those of you who have called and want to receive a copy of the book, just send me an email with your mailing address and I'll get it out to you right away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Here's Dr. Tony Dean.
McLucas said the supervisor took down Debbie's flag herself. Can I just interject something here? You would have to shoot me or physically just come and put the cuffs on me. I would have gone to wherever that flag was, and I said, you give me my flag or I'm going to whoop you. Now, that's North Carolina language. And some of you may take offense to that and say, well, that's not the Christian response. Oh, yeah, it is.
Weekday morning, 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
This is Women Today with Vonette Bright.
It's hard to resist something that's free. Tracy couldn't resist the offer of a free book from a Campus Crusade for Christ staff couple she had just heard. The following day, Tracy began reading her book. She soon found herself in tears and thought, "This is my life." As a result of her reading, Tracy began to make changes in her marriage. The book advised her to build her home on a relationship with God. She and her husband began praying together daily. They also prayed with their children at bedtime. Understanding the Bible had always been difficult for Tracy, so she asked God to help her to understand, and he did. Dear friend, God can make a change in your life too. Begin by reading the Bible. Commit your life, your marriage, your family to Christ.
A thought for the day from Vonette Bright.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're in the final segment here. We're down under 10 minutes. Tom is up next, but before we go to Tom, let me just mention that the website was just mentioned, knowingthetruth.org. There's a tool out there that you would find, I hope you would find, very helpful, one of our new sponsors. It's called Divine Direction. Over 300 verses of the scriptures arranged by subject. And so all of these different areas that we face in our life on a regular basis, like with children that we're talking about today, there are verses from the scriptures that are arranged so that you can hear these verses. It brings hope and encouragement. It's put out by a ministry called Power Ministries. And if you go out to the Knowing the Truth website and just click on the logo that's in the right-hand column, it'll take you right to their page. This would make an excellent Christmas gift. You want to give people something that's going to help them the rest of the 365 days of the year. This will be a gift that will do that. Divine Direction, 300 verses of Scripture arranged by subject. It's a CD. You put it in your car, and while you're driving, then it'll help you develop a biblical solutions and encouragement for everyday issues. I highly recommend it. It's out there on the website. You can check it out. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom, you're up first. Tom, welcome into the program today.
Thank you, Kevin. I just had a question for William regarding the differences in discipline, say, girls and boys. Is there a difference that is distinguishable?
Good question.
So the question is do you discipline boys and girls differently?
Yes.
Not at preschool age, I don't think you do. I think you're dealing with the heart of the child. It's equally rebellious and unbelieving and hard in a young boy as it is in a young girl. So, but I think as they get older, that changes quite a bit. You know, say especially as they get 12 and older, maybe 10 and older, especially for a father, he relates differently to his has a different relationship with his sons and with his daughters, and it's good, I think. It's not bad. He relates to a young lady as that, a young lady, and his sons as someone he's pushing out of the nest in a different way. I think moms play a more crucial role parenting in the early years, but as the kids hit age 10, 12, 13, and older, the dad's role becomes increasingly crucial. He's the one that moves the children forward, moves them out of the nest, equips them to face the outside world. And he does that a little bit differently with young ladies than he does with his sons.
Tom, does that address that question pretty well for you?
Sure, I appreciate it.
Excellent. Send me an email, Tom. I'll send you a book.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. We didn't get to go through your book that much. We did, but we didn't, at least in the structured way, William, that we were hoping to go through some of the chapters, but that's fine. The important part is that people were able to ask their question. I do have one here that I think is the kernel of really where you wrote this book, because you mentioned it a few times throughout it. But the idea that most people feel that effective parenting is basically keeping their children away from something.
Right.
This is very pertinent right now because we're just days away from Halloween. Yeah. So there may be Christian parents that say, you know, my child, we're a Christian family, we're not celebrating Halloween, and this is really the crux of my parenting, is keeping my children away from worldly influence.
Uh-huh.
Speak to that issue and why you address that in your book.
Well, one of the assumptions that I indicate in the first chapter is crucial for parenting is that the thrust of our parenting needs to be primarily offensive and not defensive. It's the old saying in football, good offense is better than a defense.
Mm-hmm.
But in parenting, I think that's true. And so when a parent's on the offensive, what are they trying to do? They know that if they can get their child into new birth, that new birth will conquer the world. The Bible tells us in 1 John that those who are born of God overcome the world. And so they recognize that they can protect their kids till, to use a bad expression, hell freezes over, and it won't do any good if their child doesn't get regeneration. That's a defensive approach. The defensive approach is, if I just protect my children, everything will be okay. The problem with that is that, first of all, you're presuming your children have new birth when they probably don't. And secondly, you're presuming that if they got new birth, it would not protect them from the world. So all the protection in the world won't do any good if the child is not regenerate. If the child is regenerate, they will overcome worldly influence. So does that say we shouldn't protect our children? No, we should. There are many things we should protect our children from, but that's not the main thing in parenting. That's a fear-based parenting, the protective model, the defensive model, which in my experience as a pastor almost never bears fruit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you think if I homeschool my kids or I just send them to the right Christian school and keep them away from those horrible public schools and don't let them watch TV or don't let them watch certain shows on TV, don't let them listen to rock music, everything will be okay. But that is a type of, what's the right word to use? It's moralism.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't recognize that the issue is a changed heart, and those things can't change the heart. The heart is, your child comes out of the womb by nature a child of wrath, as we're told in Ephesians 2, because their heart is irrevocably set against God and the things of God's Spirit, and that only changes through regeneration. It's very, very important that parents are very wise about the symptoms of regeneration in their children and not just assume it because they go to church with you every Sunday.
You know, Frank Page was the pastor down here at Taylor's First Baptist. He's just about to take a different position somewhere else. But he was also the head of the Southern Baptist Convention a couple years ago, and we had him on the broadcast. And he mentioned that, that the SBC, his job was going to be to talk about what they were for, because so many people associated with what they were against.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's not only true in the SBC, but maybe just Christianity as a whole. We've got to be careful that we're not defined by what we're against. And
that's right.
And you bring out in the book that we've got to be careful when we do this. Not only will we do what that moralistic therapeutic deism that was spoken about in that soul-searching book, but we've got to be careful that we don't raise little Pharisees, little legalistic moralists that, they know the lingo and they know what to stay away from, but they have no real vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, and we've got to be very careful. William, thank you so much for being with me on the program today, and thank you for writing this book. I pray that God will bless it, and it'll be a real blessing in the life of Christians all across this country.
Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity and the honor of being on your program. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for that. That was William Farley, pastor of Grace Christian Fellowship, author of the book Gospel-Powered Parenting. You can get it from PNR Publishing. You can go out to their website, which is www.pnrbooks.com, I believe, pnrbooks.com. Or you can just Google it, and it'll come up on Amazon as well. Gospel-Powered Parenting, How the Gospel Shapes and Transforms Parenting. Don't forget this week to turn your clock back. This is the week to do it, so you're not late for service on Sunday. See you at David Jeremiah tonight and next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Green.